Well, this little hymn we've sung, I suspect that the hymn writer had been reading in the scriptures, and he knew the Lord for himself, I'm sure. Probably from Revelation chapter 5. We'll find as we read there in the book of Revelation, we'll find some verses that some of the thoughts that we sang about were gleaned from, probably. And Revelation chapter 5 is a scene in heaven. It brings us to heaven, so we're going to have a view of things happening in heaven. Let's read this. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book within, written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Now he's speaking of the Lord Jesus. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. That's the Lord Jesus. And verse 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain." Oh, this is the Lord pictured to us as that Lamb of God that was slain to take our sins away. "Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." It's a beautiful chapter bringing us into heaven, showing us there is one there, the Lamb slain as a center of God's thoughts, center of the throng of angels. But also here, a group of people that I want to draw your attention to in the 9th verse. And they say, "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us," they're talking about themselves, "redeemed us to God by thy blood." Those that are redeemed here by the blood of the Lamb, where are they? They're in heaven, before the throne, in the presence of the Lord Jesus as that Lamb of God. Where are they from? Because they've come from the earth. They were formerly on the earth and now they're in heaven. And they've come from, it tells us here, out of every kindred or tribe and tongue and people and nation. Now as we look on the earth, we see that there are different tribes and tongues and people and nations. Now can anyone give me a name of a nation? You young people and younger ones, you take geography in school. Name a country. Name a nation. You know a nation? Give me a nation. Let's have a nation. Do I have a hand somewhere? Yes. France. Thank you. But I'm from Quebec, but still. France. France. Yes, France is a nation. It's a language, too. They speak French in France, don't they? Are there going to be French people in heaven? Yes, there are. People from France in heaven? Yes, there will be. Another nation that you know about. Yes. Brazil. Yes, Brazil. You know what they speak in Brazil? Who knows what they speak in Brazil? What language do they speak in Brazil?
Portuguese.
Portuguese. Yes. There'll be people that were Portuguese on the earth. They lived in Brazil, but there'll be people from Brazil in heaven. People that spoke Portuguese, every tongue, Portuguese, they'll be in heaven. Have another nation. Yes.
Israel.
Israel. Yes, Israel. What do they speak in Israel? Do you know? What do they speak in Israel? The Old Testament was written in that language. It wasn't Greek. Hebrew. They spoke Hebrew. People speaking Hebrew on the earth be in heaven. Yes. People from Israel, they'd be in heaven. Yes. And it says from every tribe, you could say there's 12 tribes of Israel, you know, and probably some from every one of those tribes, you know. When I was in Benin, there are people there from different tribes. They live in the country of Benin, and there'll be people from Benin in heaven, you know. But they're different tribes. Some are Fon, and some are Yoruba, some are Afa, Aga, Aja, all sorts of, Nago, different tribes, you know. But there'll be some of them in heaven. Do you believe that? Well, I believe it says here in the Word of God. So we have a view in heaven. There are people there from every people, kindred, tongue, and nation. It's wonderful. And they're all singing the same thing about one who has redeemed them with his blood. Will there be people from the state of New York in heaven? Anybody going to be in heaven from the state of New York? Oh, I believe so. Some people want to raise their hands, I'm sure. They speak English. I'm from the state of New York, from the United States. Yes, I'm sure there'll be millions from Canada also. But you know, could we say, let's start with France. Will everyone from France be in heaven? Oh, I'm afraid I can't say yes. Will everyone from Brazil, whoever lived in Brazil, whoever spoke Portuguese, will everyone who ever spoke Portuguese be in heaven? I'm afraid I can't say yes. Will everyone from Israel be in heaven? Don't believe so. Will everyone from the state of New York be in heaven? No. Sad to say, no. But you don't. When they're in heaven, they're all together. It's one big throng of people. And they have one object. They're no longer Portuguese or French or Hebrew or American or Canadian. They're all one around the Lord Jesus, you know. And they're singing about him. It's a wonderful thing. And I don't want to divide the people in heaven, because they're one with the Lord Jesus. But I want to categorize them, okay? And I don't want to categorize them by country. We're going to categorize them by name. And we're going to make 26 groups of people. We're going to say, these people in heaven, we could divide in 26 groups. And what we're going to do is we're going to use their names. Let's say their name starts with an A. We'll put them in the first group. We'll have a group for every letter in the alphabet. The Hebrew only have 22 letters in the alphabet, but we'll use 26. English and French are the same. 26 letters. We'll have 26 groups. And we would put people in the group that corresponds to the first letter in their name. Let's suppose we take the first group, group A. A name that starts with A. Anybody know a name that starts with A? Or anybody here have a name that starts with A? Yes. Amy?
Abby.
Is that right? Abby, yes. Here's one name, Abby. That would be in that first group. By anybody else with a name? Yes. Al. Albert. Alphonse. We have Alphonse in French. Yes. How about a B? Yes, a B. Hey? Ben. Yes, Ben. We have Benoit in French. Ben. Another B. Bernard. Yes. Bruce. Yes. So we have two groups here. People that would fit in these groups. They're still on the earth, though. Those that are speaking here, we're still on the earth. But if you've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, you would be in that group if we categorize you this way. What about a C? Yes. C? Cindy. Yes, Cindy. Carol. Yes. Caleb. Yes, beautiful. Boys and girls, you know, we each have a name. And I don't know all your names, but your name would fit in one of these 26 groups, you know. That would include everybody here. We could fit in one of these groups. It would include everybody in America. Everybody in the world, in fact, we could categorize in 26 little groups and say, what's your name? There you go. That's easy, isn't it? 26 groups of people. I'm M for Michelle. Some might, you know, I was thinking, maybe how about X, you know, who's got an X? Xavier, you know, Xavier, and I'm sure I'm going to meet a Xavier in heaven. And W, you got Wilfred and William. And Z, we have Zeno. I don't know if you have names in English with Z, but I'm sure in other countries they have names that start with Z. So 26 groups of people by their names, you know. It's a wonderful thing to consider how many people could be in heaven in these 26 groups. In fact, there's room in heaven for everybody, you know. But we sang in our little hymn, it says there, we sang the same question over and over again. We talked about that yesterday. You know, there are questions in the Bible, and sometimes they're not answered. They're not answered, and God wants us to answer those questions in the Bible. But there's a question in our hymn, and it says there, will you be there and I? Well, let's put it this way. I'm going to put the question to myself. Will I be there? Yes, I will. It's not going to be 26 group, and I won't be in the group with the M's. But my name is Michelle, and I'm going to be there because I have been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're a boy or a girl. Doesn't matter which country you live in, what language you speak. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. You can be in heaven. Everyone can go to heaven because of the work of one person, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who has come, who has proved who he was by the miracles that he did, and who's gone to the cross of Calvary, and there he hung between heaven and earth for 3 hours of darkness to be made sin for us and to bear in his own body on the tree our sins, for people of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And that's where they're in heaven, and they're singing. They're singing about him. And that's who I'm going to be singing about when I get to heaven. And many in this room, you know. But I say, will all the Americans be in heaven? No. Will all the men, women, and children that have a name that starts with M, are they going to be in heaven? I'm afraid not. And I wonder about you tonight. That's why we have a gospel meeting, because we're concerned about you, and we're not the ones that are really concerned about you. God's the one that's concerned about you. And he gives us these opportunities to preach the gospel, to tell about the work of his Son, what he's done on the cross, and the value of his blood to redeem anyone from anywhere, at any age, with any name, and to bring him to heaven forever for blessing. And God can only do that through the blood of the Lord Jesus, because it is the blood of the Lord Jesus that cleanseth from all sin. That's the only way God can take away my sins and your sins, and he's done so for me. So I can answer, will I be there? I can answer yes, on the authority of the Word of God, because I've received the Lord as my Savior, and he's washed my sins in his most precious blood. Well, you know, we had this in the reading in Ephesians. We spoke about election, how God chooses We spoke about predestination, how God sets where we're going and what we're going to be ahead of time. And we also spoke of God calling. And that's what the gospel is. God is calling. God is calling you this evening. A boy, a girl, an older. God is calling you to come tonight to believe on the Lord Jesus, to trust in Him as your Savior. You know, there are different ones in the Scriptures that were called of the Lord. But there's one that's remarkable. You know, it's that man in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. Maybe 9. Find it in my French Bible here. Looking for the story of Bartimaeus. Chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, that's Mark 10 and 46. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called a blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You know, this man, he heard about Jesus and he knew that the Lord Jesus was the one that could help him with his problem. And he got a blessing. He called on the name of the Lord and he was blessed. You know, and he says, the Lord says, they told him, "He calleth thee." The Lord was calling him, but he was calling on the name of the Lord too, didn't he? And the Lord answered him and said to him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Verse 51. He was a blind man and he longed to have his sight. And the Lord answered his prayer, his request, and gave him his sight. Beautiful miracle. Could the Lord have done more for him? Oh, yes. Could the Lord do more for you tonight than he did for this man in giving him his eyesight? Oh, yes. Yes. He did a wonderful miracle, you know, in John chapter 11. There was a man there. His name was Lazarus. And Jesus loved Lazarus, and he was sick. And the Lord allowed Lazarus to die. And the Lord went there, and he went where they laid the body, and he called out Lazarus' name. I would think Lazarus would be in heaven in that group of names that start with L. But the Lord came, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And that man came forth out of death. And he came out there and the Lord told the disciples to loose him and let him go. Wonderful miracle. People that had been crying because they lost someone they loved, the Lord brought him back to life. Could the Lord do something more for us? Yes. Something more than calling someone out of death back to life? Yes, yes, yes. Yes. You see, if the Lord raised someone from the dead, it wouldn't be a guarantee that when we read Revelation chapter 5, that scene in heaven, there'd be no guarantee that they'd be there. That blind man Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, I expect to see him in the glory. I expect to see him there. But he didn't ask to be saved. He didn't ask to have his sins washed away. He didn't ask to be forgiven. He asked to receive his sight, and he got the answer to his prayer. But the Lord Jesus can do more than heal the body and raise the dead. He can forgive sin and wash you whiter than snow and make you fit for heaven. And he can only do that to you and to me because he has finished that work on the cross of Calvary. When he healed the sick, all he had to do was to want that, and he healed the sick. When he rose Lazarus from the dead, he just called forth his name and he rose him from the dead because he's the Son of God. But to wash your sins and to wash my sins, he had to shed his precious blood as a man. He had to die on the cross of Calvary. He had to suffer in our stead. And it's a wonderful scene, you know, in heaven, Revelation chapter 5. Millions there, I'm sure. All there because of the love of God. All because of the gift of God, his Son Jesus Christ, given up on the cross of Calvary, forsaken of God for you and me. Well, you know, tonight, God is calling you. He's calling you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, to receive him in your heart as your own personal Savior. It doesn't matter how old you are. You could be just a young boy, young girl, older one. Doesn't matter. What nationality you are, doesn't matter. What language you speak, well, if you don't speak English, you can't understand what I'm saying, but God can work that out too, you know, he did. He gave the gift of tongues so they could hear about the Lord Jesus, each one in their own language. So Bartimaeus, the Lord called him. He was already calling on the Lord, but I'm sure... Boys and girls here, oft times you've called out to your mother, your father. They've answered, you know. But I'm sure many times, mom or dad, have been calling out your name. We do it often at home when it's supper time. We open the door in the summer there and I start all those names in our family, one after the other, get mixed up, doesn't matter. But I call them by name, you know. And sooner or later they show up. It's nice when they show up real quick, but they do show up, you know. And if they don't show up, I actually go and I look for them where they are because we want them for supper. We want them to be home at a certain time, whatever. We seek them out and we call them by their name because they're our children. Well, when I'm calling my children, and I'm sure you too, this is not self-accusation sometimes, I could call my boy Paul. I could say, Paul, Paul, time for supper. But if I'm looking for my hammer, and I know Paul took my hammer, and it's the fifth time I'm looking for my hammer, I might say, Paul, my tone is going to change. But if I'm really worried about Paul, if I'm really worried about my child, I'm going to have a different tone in my voice. Say, Paul, Paul, where are you? Paul. Different voice. I'm calling his name, but it's different, you know. And God has a way of calling us, you know. He calls us gently. He has a gentle voice. When Elijah was there and he heard a still small voice. It was the voice of God calling him. Samuel, when the Lord called Samuel, he thought Eli was calling him. And it's recorded, Samuel, Samuel. He heard his name and he came. It was the Lord calling him. He didn't hear a harsh voice. He heard a soft voice, a still small voice. But sometimes, you know, it gets to be urgent. When I'm worried as a father or as a parent, you're worried. You're looking for your child. Maybe they got lost in the woods. You might not just, you know, say, Paul, Paul. You might start, I'm not going to scream, but you'd really hear me. And others would too. They'd give me a hand, you know. What about if the house was on fire? It happened in our home, you know. Our house was on fire. And Paul was in the house. And my wife had to go back in. And it wasn't in any danger at that time. But she did go back in and bring him out. He was a little child at that time. But you can imagine going into a building that's on fire, looking for your children, and calling them out by name. They might be panicking in your voice. Urgency, strength, power there. Say, I want to find this child. I want to find this person. Calling them out by name. Well, you know, it tells us in the scriptures about fire. A fire can be something pleasant, and we use it. No, we use it to roast marshmallows. It's good. Marshmallows on the fire. And people use it for cooking, and they use it for lighting, too. In Africa, they use kerosene, and they light a fire there, and they use kerosene for lighting. It's quite useful. But fire can be real destructive. I just want to say a few things about fire, because a lot of us are Christians, you know. And sometimes we play around with fire. You know, we tell our kids, I'm sure you do, dads and moms, they don't play with matches. Play with lighters. We don't never play with fire. Fire can be really dangerous, you know. Don't play with matches. Well, you know, sometimes us older folks, we play with matches. We light fires. Book of James. And you're going to help us out, kids, with this. James chapter 2. Chapter 3. If you had a choice, what would you rather be? A firefighter or a fire starter? You know, some people play with fire. They call them arsonists. They light fires. They like to see fires. And some people get killed because people have been lighting fires. What would you rather be? A firefighter or a fire lighter? Well, I'd rather be a firefighter. Well, let's look at James chapter 3. Verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and set it on fire, the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. It speaks of our tongue as being something that can light a fire. Now, I have a very simple illustration that's been a blessing to me when I thought of this, because I have a fire starter right here, right there. It starts fire. You're not planning to start fire. You play with matches. You're not always planning for the hay and grass and barn to burn, but if you're not careful how you speak, you can light a fire. Now, I want a boy or a girl here to give me a hand. You know, you ever hear of sound effects? You make sound effects sometimes? You imitate animals sometimes. You do that, eh? Ever imitate animals, boys and girls? You do that sometimes? Maybe Daddy does that. And I'm not going to ask him to help us tonight if he does. But you can make sound effects. I would like someone to give me an idea of the sound you hear, okay, if you can. Let's say you have a fire going here and you put water on the fire. You just throw water on there. What are you going to hear? You hear a sound. I'm sure you hear a sound. What are you going to hear? Anybody have an idea of the sound that you hear when you throw water on the fire? Who's giving it to me? I'm hearing it. There it is. Yes, yes, you hear it. Shh. Isn't that right? Shh. Hey. That's how you put out this kind of fire. That's how you put it out. Shh. 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 Hear the sound, eh? Shh. Be quiet. Shh. And then you can help me. Because as I'm starting a fire, you can look at me and say, shh, shh, shh. And we can do it to each other, you know, when we go and we start talking about other people, saying things that are not pleasing to the Lord. We can be firefighters. We say, shh, shh. And if it's just a little fire, just say, shh, shh. It's hard when that fire is spreading and a forest fire can't put it out anymore. It gets out of control. And it damages lives, you know. Well, that's some of the unhappy things about fire. But you know, if you keep it from starting, you won't have to put it out. And if it's just starting, it's easy to put it out. That's it. It's gone. Well, this is fire for Christians. It says in the Proverbs, it says, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Another verse in Proverbs tells us that fire is, I don't say it in English, insatiable. Do you have that word in English? Insatiable? Yes. So let's suppose I start a fire and say, okay, you all go and get wood. We all go and get wood. You start going and get wood, and we're going to put this fire out with the wood. No. The fire is never going to say, enough, enough, I can't take anymore. It's not going to say that. The fire is going to burn and burn and burn and burn everything. Everything you put on it is going to burn. Till there's nothing left to burn. And then it's going to go out. It tells us in the scripture that there's a fire coming. There's a fire coming. 2 Peter chapter 3. And the only way it's going to be put out, you know, is when there's nothing left to burn. When it runs out of wood, when it runs out of things to burn, it's going to be extinguished. Second Peter chapter 3. Verse 7. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Well, you know, boys and girls and older ones too, if you were living in a house that I knew was going to shortly be set on fire and be completely consumed, I'd be really mean if I didn't tell you, you better come out of there. And if I knew it was going to be really, really quick, I'd be a real coward if I didn't insist and say, you have to come out of there right now. And if I didn't go in and call you by your name and say, you have to come out right now, I'd be a real coward. But you know, the earth that we're living in and living on is going to be destroyed by fire. It's coming. Different things are going to take place on the face of the earth, but there's a time coming when the earth that we're living on is going to be completely consumed and disappear. Now, some people plan on spending a lot of time on the earth, but it's going to be destroyed by fire. And God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And the ones that are with him in that scene of Revelation chapter 5, those that have been redeemed with his precious blood from every kindred and people and tongue and nation, they are the ones that are going to be living with him on that new heaven and new earth. And as the time is getting closer and closer for the Lord to come in judgment, the voice of God that's calling you is more and more pressing. Perhaps if he would be calling me tonight, he would say, Michelle! Michelle! Hurry up! Don't wait. The Lord Jesus is coming very, very soon. And he's going to take out of the earth those that he's called by his name, he's called by their name, and brought to himself. And he's going to come and raise those that are dead in Christ, and those that are alive, he's going to take them out of this world, and this world is going to go through some terrible times. Are you going to be there on the earth when these terrible times? I'm not. These terrible times are coming. And you know, the people on the face of the earth at that time, you could put in 26 categories. You could divide them by their names. No matter what color their skin is, what country they live in, what city they live in, they have a name. And some name starts with A, and some with B, and some with C. And they're going to be on the earth. And we're going to be in heaven. And it's going to be a terrible thing. And we would want any boy or girl, or older one here, not to be with that company in heaven. God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He's not willing that any should perish. He's long-suffering. He's waiting for you. Now, you know, every picture falls short. If I was running into a house where you were to bring you out, even my own children, I might not be able to bring them out. I might just lose consciousness from the smoke. I might perish myself. But the Lord Jesus, He went into the fire of judgment for you. For you. That's why it's such a terrible thing to refuse to come when He calls. Because He loves us so much. He went into the fire of judgment on the cross of Calvary. So every boy and girl and older one too, no matter what letter your name starts with, He's calling you right now. Whosoever will may come. He's calling you. And He wants you to be there in heaven. He doesn't want you to go through the time of testing and trial that's coming on the earth. He doesn't want you to go through that destruction of ungodly men that's coming for all those that dwell on the face of the earth. And more than that, you know, when the heaven and the earth are all going to be burnt up and they disappear, there's fire that's still going to be going. Not on the earth, not in the heavens, in a place called the lake of fire. The lake of fire. You know, it tells us in the scriptures that God prepared the lake of fire for the devil and his angels. He didn't prepare that for men. But some men, some persons will end up in there. Not because they're sinners, but because they won't have the Lord Jesus their Savior. They won't accept to come when He bids them come. When He insists, come. When He cries out their names, come. When He shuts the door, it's going to be too late. Well, it tells us in Revelation chapter 20, our time's almost up. Verse 11, Revelation 20 and 11. This is when there is no more heaven and earth as we know them now. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. So they're gone. There are those that are with the Lord, and there are those that are standing here before the great white throne. And books are open, and He's looking for names in the book of life. If anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God is writing names in the book of life, you know. He's got names that starts with A and B and C. I know a man called Peter. He's going to be in heaven. Will all men called Peter be in heaven? Probably not. I know a woman called Martha and one called Mary. They're going to be in heaven. Miriam, a lot of them be in heaven. Will all the ladies that have a name that starts with M be in heaven? No. Will you be in heaven? Is your name in His book? I trust it is. And if it's not, I say, why not? Why won't you let Him put your name down? Why won't you have Him as your Savior? Why won't you let Him wash your sins away with His precious blood? Why won't you come when He calls? This place is going to burn. This whole earth is going to burn. The heavens are going to burn. And the lake of fire is going to burn forever and ever and ever. And He doesn't want you there. Is your name there? Oh, if it isn't there tonight, don't wait any longer. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know when the Lord Jesus is going to come. If you've never done so, you do it tonight. Say, Lord Jesus, put my name in your book. I want you to wash my sins away. I want you as my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross of Calvary for me. I accept a gift of God. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just one last word. The book of Proverbs. A brother read this verse this morning, and the thought stayed with me. I'd like to share this with my brother. Proverbs chapter 30. Verse 4. Who had ascended up into heaven or descended? Who had gathered the wind in his fists? Who had bound the waters in a garment? Who had established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? This is an Old Testament question, you know. What was his son's name? They didn't know. Do you know? What is his son's name? His name is Jesus. Do you know the answer to that question? What is his son's name? It's Jesus. You know what his name is? That came to my mind. You know, what's his name? His son's name is Jesus. And what's his name? Well, you know, his name is Father. His name is Father. That's how we come to know him, you know, through his son, Jesus Christ. He's called Father. Because the name of Jesus is the name above every name. God has given him the name above every name. The name of Jesus. That's the name. You know about the name of Jesus? But you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior tonight? What's your name? What letter does it start by? Are you in that group of 26 categories we made up of those that were in heaven? One for every letter of the alphabet? Or are you with the group on the earth? Divided the same way? Classified by the first letter in their name? Oh. Tonight, receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Put your trust in him. Tell your mom, tell your dad. You've opened your heart. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you'll be saved. Let's have a word of prayer.